It's the Lawn and Garden Show with Walter Reeves on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. It's brought to you by Pike Nurseries, your neighborhood garden center, playing in the dirt for more than 50 years. Call now with your lawn and garden questions at 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. And now, here's Walter.
It's 6:08 on a Saturday morning, 22 degrees outside. This is Lawn and Garden. I'm Walter Reeves, the Georgia Gardener, alongside Ashley Frasca, the Georgia traffic reporter and sometimes garden show screener, but today co-hosting the show.
We never get to host it together. This is cool. If I'm on your side, you're out of the country.
Right.
And if, you know, yeah,
if I'm here, you're creating college.
That's
right. We are together making sure that you know what's going on outside. We got three quick traffic updates we want to hear about this morning. Then we'll talk to our friend Nicole from Griffin, and she'll tell us what's going on down there. First in line, let's get Tim's up in Alpharetta and joins us. Hey, Tim, how's it going?
Hey, Tim here.
Hey, man, what's going on?
Hey, just finished a commute from Hiram to Alpharetta.
And?
And what I found was road conditions are basically a layer of crunchy snow and sleet over a thin layer of ice.
Ow!
Safe driving, in my opinion, if you have to be out, is 30 miles an hour or less.
Yeah.
Experience, good tires, and knowing how to torque down your transmission or gear it down for torque braking.
So this good. is Hiram to Alpharetta, right, Tim?
Yep.
Hiram to Alpharetta. All right. And Jason Byers, our engineer, says that's exactly right. His little bitty car with the front wheel drive and the stick shift, he said he can go anywhere this morning.
Not necessarily.
Well,
if you're on ice, you got to know how to handle it.
Got to be careful. Tim, thanks so much.
If you lock down the brakes, you're in the ditch.
All right. Let's be slow, everybody. Thanks, Colin. Thanks for calling, Tim. Hiram to Alpharetta. Crunchy, crunchy snow and unsafe conditions. Stay indoors if you possibly can. Susan is on Langford Parkway. What are you seeing on Langford Parkway right now, Susan?
I am, and we are kind of moving very slowly now. I came up about a mile ahead of Langford Parkway exit, and it just everything came to a stop. It's just
wow.
A sea of red lights. I haven't even managed to see any blue lights
right.
yet, but we are at least creeping along at under 5 miles an hour.
Oh, man.
So downtown there is a Jackknife tractor trailer, 7585 South,
okay.
working between University Avenue and Langford Parkway. So not sure how many lanes that's taking up currently, but yep.
That's the deal. Why are you out right now, Susan?
Well, I work at Atlanta Medical over here on Cleveland Avenue,
yeah.
and they expect me to come to work. And
There are a lot of patients there who are thankful for your bravery and courage
yeah.
and your patience this morning, Susan. Langford Parkway.
Yeah, the thing I always like to say is slow and steady wins the race in a deal like this.
Very
you know?
True. That's great.
Well, safe driving, Susan. Even though it's slow, at least it's safe. Thanks for calling.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
We'll see you, Susan. Thanks for calling. We got Ron up in the Mount Vernon area, and Ron says things are actually changing in Mount Vernon right now. Hey, Ron, good morning.
Good morning.
What
good
do you
morning.
See?
Well, right now we've got snow and ice coming down pretty well. The road conditions are not slushy, but I can hear crunching underneath the tires. So
yeah.
With a little common sense, we'll make it to work this morning. And but I would definitely caution anybody that's on the road.
So you're saying right now, Ron, that snow is falling. It's not just falling from the trees. It's falling from the sky right now?
Correct. Yeah, we've got snow and sleet coming down. And the only thing I worry about is coming back. If the temperature's
yeah.
going to fall anymore.
Oh, it's not going to get any warmer today. It's going to be cold the rest of the day, and things are not going to melt. It's going to be crunchy and hazardous conditions for the rest of the day.
Right. Well, it's still coming down here. Right in front of North Hall High School on Mount Vernon Road, so it hadn't stopped here yet.
Wow. How about that? Well, Ron, thanks so much for calling and giving us that update. You see anything actually on the computer screen there about traffic up in that area, in North Hall, Gainesville, Mount Vernon, in that area?
Not that far, no. I mean, it's so tough to tell. The traffic maps that we use, the sensors are based on road temperatures
right.
first, and then speeds of the vehicles. They pick up all of your cell phone activity bouncing off the tower. So right now the sensors are so out of whack with the low road temperatures being under freezing. So everything's pretty much showing yellow, which, you know, usually during rush hour is an indication things are slow. But in this case, it just means that there are bad conditions. So pretty much the entire length of 985 from Gainesville down to the Mall of Georgia. And of course, just a moment ago, Smile and Mark McKay telling you a jackknife tractor trailer, third one so far since we've been on the air, starting at 5 a.m. This one, 85 north at the Mall of Georgia. All lanes are shut down there. So, yeah, I would say that that's a good report from him to start off. We were wondering how the Northeast was doing. Gainesville was anticipated to get pretty hard with ice.
Speaking of tractor-trailer drivers, we're talking to a tractor-trailer driver right now, our friend Nicole from Griffin, Georgia. Hey, Nicole, good morning.
Mr. Reeves.
Ms. Nicole. So what is it like to drive in conditions like this when you have a heavy rig?
Just use common sense and stay home. No, pull alongside. It just takes one person to mess up your good day, you know.
Yeah.
And it's probably younger driver that they think they can, you know. But black ice, nobody can drive on ice, period.
Did you ever have an accident or did you have some problems when you were driving, Nicole, that were happened during icy, snowy conditions?
I always got a good lead man with me, you know, somebody that was older. Uh-huh. They always tell me, he said, never take a chance because you're taking chance with people's life. Mm. Not one person, maybe a family.
Yeah, sure. And you could run into them. And we've talked to her earlier this morning about how the trucks that have a lot of weight on them have a really, really hard time slowing down. Jackknifing is, of course, the biggest problem with the big rigs because of the back end can't slow down as fast as a front end can, so they just flip around and jackknife in the roadway. So how's it going in Griffin right now? Are you getting ice or snow, or what's it doing down there, Nicole?
Well, I went to take a walk and tried to open the mailbox. Forget it.
Frozen shut.
Everything that's got water in it is just, if you can not hold on with your 2 feet, you know, I don't think you should get out, even if you're a driver.
How much ice is on the trees in Griffin, Nicole?
Not on the tree. It's on where the blacktop is, where the concrete. It's worse because concrete gets polished.
Right.
And then it's like, not rubber anymore or plastic.
So it did not accumulate on the trees, is what you're saying, because it did in downtown Atlanta. It was all on the trees when Ashley and I came in this morning.
No, it's only on the. But then again, I live in the woods. If you go, like, downtown Griffin, it's probably accumulated. It's cooler, isn't it?
Yeah, a little bit, maybe. You're down there. That's surprising. Last night I was watching the forecast, and my mother, of course, lives in Fayette County, and I was thinking that maybe she would get lots and lots of ice. We wouldn't get all that much in downtown Atlanta because of the urban heat effect. And then north of the city, of course, we've already had reports this morning, lots of snow and ice and hazardous conditions in the north and northwest, I think, part of Atlanta. So that's interesting to hear. Did you have a garden question today, Nicole?
Well, Mr. Reeve, I was trying to grow some celery.
Yeah.
I was really successful.
Yeah.
Until now, it's mush. But if you go to the food store and you take a piece of celery, it's got a lot of bottom.
Yeah.
You take the good part and eat it. But the rest of it, if you got a lot of leaves, you put it back in the soil. Oh, boy, it's growing big time after that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. This I call it garbage gardening because you take things that are cut off of your carrot, cut off your celery, cut off your sweet potato and Irish potatoes, and you put them in just a little bit of what I like to use, of course, is sand. Sand in a saucer that I keep moist all the time. Just put that base down in there. Pineapples do great. Avocados sometimes can be sprouted, but just put the base down into damp sand, keep it there in a sunny window for 2 or 3 weeks, and all of a sudden, like you say, the celery sprouts out again and grows.
I tried that with bok choy, you know, or shanghai, those little bit of green thing.
Sure.
But I didn't have enough leaves left. I think you need a lot of leaves to feed the the bottom part.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You have to have a little bit of leaf surface to give the hormones and give the energy that they need from light to tell the roots to start growing and sprouting and doing things like that. But I have done numerous carrots and potatoes over the time. When February rolls around, we'll talk about how to grow Irish potatoes in a tub outside on your patio. Ashley's tried that herself. There are lots of things that you can grow in the garden. And today, if you have any of that stuff in the garbage, it needs something to do with your kids that you're not letting outdoors to run up and down the hills in ice and snow, then that's something you can do with the kids inside. Do a little garbage gardening.
Yes.
It's a lot of fun. Well, Nicole, we got to get out of here. It is great talking to you. Glad you're safe and glad everything's going okay in Griffin.
Stay warm, Nicole.
The same to you, Ashley.
We'll see you soon.
Take care.
It's 6:18 at News Talk WSB. We'll be back right after this.
This is Scott Slade, host of Atlanta's Morning News on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. We'll be covering breaking news, Kirk Mellish weather, and traffic red alerts through the weekend. And the Southeast's largest news team is here for you first thing Monday morning when you head back to work. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now back to Walter Reeves, the lawn and garden advice you need.
Daydream for a mile or two.
Man, yeah, happy music. Jason Byers doing a great job with music this morning. Quick weather update brought to you by Ackerman Security. Bottom line, it's going to be colder today than it is right now. 21.3 degrees here at the studios of News Talk WSB. And Ashley, what's going on around the city?
Some of the temperatures around town. Rome is at 23 degrees. Gainesville, as we just spoke to an earlier caller, 25. Of course, the coldest temperatures would be expected up by Tennessee, North Carolina, Blairsville, 19. But 37 over in Eatonton, 33 in Athens, so just above freezing. Right. But that doesn't mean that everything that froze overnight has had time to thaw out by any means. So our warnings to you, stay off the roads. Hopefully you're listening to us in the comforts and the confines of your own home if you're up this early with us. We got an hour early head start, Walter. That felt pretty good this morning.
But water, hit the ground running. Water and freezing temperatures on our roadways combined with drivers is not a really good combination.
That and the tractor trailers. I mean, you can't blame them. They've got to be out there. E-commerce doesn't stop. So they're the ones having the toughest time. We've already had three jackknife tractor trailers this morning. So, you know, just give them the roads. Let the police and the salt trucks and everybody else do their job. Stay out of their way.
If you want to feel a little bit better about where we are here, I looked up the temperature in Bozeman, Montana. Our friend Teresa Shrum, who was call screener before Ashley Frasca, 1.3 degrees in Bozeman, Montana.
They can keep it.
The high? 5.2.
Oh.
Your full weekend forecast comes up in 10 minutes on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Mark in Gainesville says, what does Mark in Gainesville say about the roads real quickly? Hey, Mark.
How you doing, Walter?
How's it going in Gainesville?
Good. I just came in from Gainesville down 985. Roads are clear. As a matter of fact, I got behind a truck spreading out, you know, like salt and brine. And they were both working the same way. I'm actually in Lawrenceville now, and here everything is good. I mean,
good to hear.
Actually, I know the temperatures are going to go down, so it all depends on how much they dry out.
Thanks for calling, Tim. We appreciate the quick update there. We need to go to Steve, though. Steve's in Carrollton, Georgia. Hey, Steve. Thanks for being so patient this morning. Welcome to the Lawn and Garden.
Hey, Walter.
What you got, Steve?
Well, you know, I've been wanting to call you for about a year or so.
I only have about 30 seconds, so let's get to the question real quick.
I got a problem with lichen.
What about them?
It looks like it kills my trees. Everybody says that lichen doesn't kill.
Yeah, I'm gonna join in with everybody else, Steve. Lichens do not kill your trees.
Yeah, you have poor soil amendment.
Yeah, mostly when you have lichens on a tree, it means the tree itself is unhealthy. The leaves on the tree, the coverage of the tree has gotten so thin that the lichens can grow then. They're allowed to grow on the bark of the tree, but they themselves don't do any damage to the tree. They don't parasitize the trunk, or they don't get inside and suck the sap out of the tree or anything like that. They simply like to grow on bark on trees where the leaf cover is real thin. So, Steve, if you got lichens on your tree, the best thing to do is to figure out, how can I make this tree happier? And if you can't figure it out because the tree is already 45 years old and all the limbs have fallen out of it, and you just don't think this way is a way to make it recover, then remove the tree. But it wasn't the lichen's fault that the tree is weakened. It is the conditions around it. Amend the soil, plant a new tree, and get those lichens on the run. But again, they do not hurt trees. It's 6:28 at News Talk WSB. Back to more Lawn and Garden after news.
We'll be washed and buried one day.
It's the Lawn and Garden Show with Walter Reeves on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. It's brought to you by Pike Nurseries, your neighborhood garden center, playing in the dirt for more than 50 years. Call now with your lawn and garden questions at 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. And now, here's Walter.
It's 6:36 and 21.7 degrees outside. This is Lawn and Garden. I'm Walter Reeves alongside Ashley Frasca this morning. We're broadcasting together this morning. We've been here since 5 a.m. making sure that we keep you informed about what's going on with the roadways, with traffic, with trees down, and informing people about what the conditions might do to affect your plants in your garden. If you have a question about what might happen to your plants or just any general garden question of any kind, 404-872-0750, 404-872-0750. And I promised a few minutes ago that I would talk a little bit more about pine trees.
Yes, I was intrigued by that.
Pine trees. And whether or not they are more or less susceptible to being, to falling down in wind or in ice storms and things like that. And they're not particularly. Yes, we have a lot more pine trees in the Atlanta area, and so they're blamed, I think, sometimes by people who move into a house and say, oh, man, I got to take all my pine trees down. They fall in my house. But they're no more or less likely than any other tree. They want to stand upright. That's their business in life, is stand upright and do their photosynthetic job. But I think the thing that happens with pine trees is they have a canker disease. And you've probably see this, actually. If you look up a pine tree trunk about 10, maybe sometimes 15, 20 feet high, there may be a swollen canker, big swollen area of the trunk where fusiform rust, which is a very common pine
outside
disease,
the bark?
Yes, basically just the whole trunk itself swells up and it almost doubles the size of the trunk. That canker site is the weakest point on the pine tree, so it may snap off right there. Now, that is a bad thing. And in fact, at my own home, Was it two years ago? Yeah, I think it was, that I saw one tree near my driveway, near my carport, big fusiform canker on it, and I thought, better call the tree guy to come take this down. And while I was looking at that, I noticed another tree about 20, 30 feet behind it. It had a big canker on it, and it was within reach of my carport, and I thought, I'm going to get them out here and do a twofer on this one. So I had both those pine trees taken down.
Trees are so expensive to take down.
Man, they are.
So pricey. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, we've got a ton of trees and a little creek in the backyard. The pine trees, they don't seem to pose any threat to me. I almost kind of visualize if they did fall toward the house, I would think they would almost break apart or snap before actually coming to crash down on the house.
Could they
maybe
reach your house from where they are? Are they tall enough to reach the back deck?
Yeah.
Well, go look. You know, this is a time of year that you can see what's going on with trees so much more easily than you can in other times when the leaves are all over the oaks and maples and they're maybe shielding and keeping you from being able to look at the trunks of the pines and at the oaks and deciduous trees, too. And one of the things you can look for on trees, and I'm here speaking of the hardwoods, the maples and oaks and tulip poplar and things like that, is look for, let me see how I can describe this. The technical word is codominant branching or codominant trunk. So that's when a trunk goes up 10 or 15 feet and then splits into two, makes a nice narrow V. Boy, oh boy, is that V a weak point on a tree. Mm-hmm. Because as the weight grows on one side and the weight grows on the other side, gravity just pulls the tree apart. And it can split apart one side or the other, bangs down onto the ground, onto the house, onto the car. And so codominant trunks are one of the situations that you definitely want to call a tree person out to look at and assess whether or not it's any way able to repair the tree by pruning. And you can do sometimes corrective pruning to help lessen the load on one side or the other, or whether the tree needs to be taken out or one of the trunks needs to be cut off. But a good tree expert, an arborist, a certified arborist, can come out and look at the tree and tell you what's going on. And it's so much easier to tell now when the leaves are off the tree than it is in other parts of the year.
And I remember in the fall this year, you know, we get cycles of calls here at the Lawn and Garden Show. You know, you get calls about certain things or diseases or whatever that may just run for a short period of time. But this fall, lots of people called you complaining about the limbs falling off of large oak trees and whether or not that was a sign of poor health of the oak or if that was just kind of a natural process for it to shed some limbs.
And that was a fascinating situation because I had noticed, too, that a lot of trees, pecans are the ones that I was thinking about, but oaks as well. And I posed the question to Art Morris, who works for Bartlett Tree Services, and Art is a big ISA certified, I'll tell you in a minute what an ISA certified arborist is. And so I asked Art what was going on, and he said, you know what's going on, I think, is that trees in urban situations sometimes get more fertilizer, maybe a little bit more water than they would in a normal forest situation where they're crowded with other trees. And he said what happens, I believe, is that the limbs get longer than they normally would on that tree. They get a little bit longer, a little bit further out with the limbs and the leaves and everything. And he says the point that they break about 5 feet away from the trunk would be the point of highest loading. And that's mm-hmm. what the arborists look for, is where do trees and limbs load and where's the most physical damage or physical chance of cracking going to be. And so Art says, I believe that is what's going on. It's simply the trees are longer than the tree is used to. The limbs are longer than the tree is used to having, and that those limbs pop off there 5 or 6 feet away from the trunk, and that's due to urban environmental conditions. I'm going to remind you, our number, 404-872-0750. If you have a question about your lawn or your garden or your houseplants or your bugs or your trees or what you're not going to do today but might do in the next couple of weeks, pruning of fruit trees would be a good thing to think about today. Pruning grapevines would be a wonderful thing to think about today. Weed control certainly can be thought of in the next few days and next few weeks. Again, a question, 404-872-0750. If you have a observation about the weather and the traffic, you've been traveling a little bit because you had to today, let us know what's going on in your neighborhood.
You know, it's such a funny time of year. I miss being outside. I miss gardening. There's just not a whole lot to do, so I just really deal with the plants on my back deck. But in preparation for this storm, emptying my bird baths, picking up stray limbs and that kind of thing, making sure the faucets on the house were covered the other day. But I went out to the backyard, which I hadn't done in maybe a month or so, and noticed my primrose was blooming again. And mm-hmm. that was a new plant to me that Mickey Gazaway just spoke so highly of at Pike when they had it.
Yep.
And it's really a beautiful, hardy little plant. So that was blooming. My Lenten rose starting to bud as well for, late January, early February, when I'm going to be able to see those bloom. So I was so thrilled to be out there and experience these things that I just assumed everything's dead, nothing's blooming out here. So nice. And cyclamen, too.
Yeah,
they're cyclamen pretty happy too right now.
And I think part of gardening, we think of gardening, at least in some people's head, is all about digging and planting and moving and pruning and work. Part of gardening is walking around, just
observing,
walking around and
right?
seeing what's going on. And if you see your primrose blooming or you see your Lenten rose is about to bloom, then that is part of gardening just as much as digging the holes and planting the plants and doing all the physical labor that has to sometimes be done to prepare for the good things. And that's what you want in a garden. You want the flowers, you want the foliage, you want the good stuff that's going on that you can look for and see outside.
My timing working with you was just perfect, because after Teresa, you
right.
had Katie Leslie,
for a year,
who worked
yeah.
for the AJC, and would come in here just perfect. I mean, she loved being here on Saturday mornings, but she had to step away. And so I kind of talked to our scheduler here at the station, and I had just bought a house, January 2011. We bought our first house, and I thought, I'll sit in for Katie for a few Saturdays, see how this lawn and garden thing goes. And I mean, I had a lot to learn too. I've got this house with this, I inherited a beautiful yard. So I knew that I had to really start learning pretty quickly what I hadn't already learned from my parents and you, listening to you over the years. But that just became the coolest thing for me to start working the show and really taking on the challenge of, I'm going to dedicate myself to learning this stuff,
And you have. Mm-hmm. I mean, you sort of hosted the segment we call Weed of the Week during the summer and spring, because you always had weeds. We'd always talk about it.
And
so
before
you
that, you remember we did Highway Horticulture
right.
a few years ago, because that's when I was really learning and starting to observe. There's all these cool trees and things that I didn't know. So I'd always take a picture. And on Saturday mornings, I'd show you the picture. You'd put it on the website. And you would tell me what the tree was or what the shrub and a little bit about it. So,
and a few minutes ago, we had that question from Stephen, who wanted to know about the lichens that were on his tree. And you said, that's the one that has the symbiotic relationship, right? And I said, yes, Ashley Frasca, you know about symbiotic relationships.
But I had it wrong. I thought, I think in my head symbiotic every time I hear lichens, because I know that they're a fungus. But so I thought there was a relationship between the lichen and the tree, but that is not the case.
That is not the case. A lichen, the gray thing, not everybody. Some of you might not know what a lichen is. It's that gray, sort of flaky-looking stuff, or sometimes thin little fibers, I guess you call it, little sort of bushy little things growing off of the trunk or sometimes the limbs of a tree. And lichens, as I mentioned to Steve, don't hurt the tree, but the symbiotic relationship is where the lichen is two things growing together. There's a fungus that grows on the outside that has real tough, hard cells that can protect the algae growing inside, and the algae photosynthesizes and feeds the fungus, and so the two of them live perfectly happily together there on the bark of the tree in a symbiotic relationship. And one of the things, actually, because you're my friend, I'll tell you even more about symbiotic relationships and lichens, is that one of the first people to theorize that that's what a lichen was, because 100 years ago, people had no idea how lichens worked and mm-hmm. what was going on with the lichen. It was Beatrix Potter, who was the, you know, the author
Brer
of the Peter Rabbit.
Yes.
And so she was also a botanist of all things, as well as an author. And she said, you know, I think there's a fungal algal relationship here. And so that was her scientific and, you know, stuff that she published as a professional, but she also published the Peter Rabbit books.
I have
too.
The Peter Rabbit books from when I was a kid.
Beatrix Potter.
Wow, I did not know she was a botanist.
Learn all sorts of things on this radio show. It's 6:47. We got time in here for Bob to come to us. Bob in Lawrenceville, tell us more what's going on in your neighborhood. Hey, Bob.
Good morning. Walter, one in four families, they estimate, has a pet.
Yeah.
And so my daughter called me, and my wife was talking about people that have pets. If they was to take it when they know it's going to snow, to take a tarp, you know, maybe a 9x12 or 12x12 tarp or whatever size tarp, and put it out there in the backyard on the grass. And that way, when the snow came, they could pull that tarp back and the little pet could go out and do its business.
Oh, man, what a good idea, Bob.
What do you think of that?
I think that's a terrific idea. Because I have a friend who has two dogs that will not go if it is raining outside. They're, we're not going out and do our business. I don't care how full we are. We're not going out there in the rain. And if they had a little dry spot, and the snow is pretty much the same way for them, and if they had a little dry spot with no snow on it, and they could have put the tarp out earlier, Bobby boy, that is a fabulous idea.
Well, my daughter's a very brilliant lady. And
takes after her dad.
She's a school teacher, and, you know, that is something that I'm so proud of, is teaching other people. But we learn from one another, and I thought I'd pass that on today.
That's a great idea.
That is a terrific idea. Bob, thanks so much for passing that on. That's something we'll add to our little things we didn't think of before. It was such a great idea to hear from you. Thanks, Bob. It's 6:49. We'll be back after this.
This is Scott Slade, host of Atlanta's Morning News on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. We'll be covering breaking news, Kirk Mellish weather, and traffic red alerts through the weekend. And the Southeast's largest news team is here for you first thing Monday morning when you head back to work. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now back to Walter Reeves and the lawn and garden advice you need.
You forget I've seen you work before. Take them straight to the top.
Burning this morning. Quick weather update brought to you by Ackerman Security. It's cold now, 21 degrees. It's going to get colder during the day, lowering down to 16 degrees overnight. That's not going to be good for our plants, but it's not going to be terrible because we've had so much time for them to acclimate to cold temperatures. I think I'll have a little bit more commentary about that a little bit later. Your full weekend forecast comes in 10 minutes on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Ashley Frasca is co-hosting the show with me this morning, keeping an eye on temperatures. What do they look like, Ash?
Keep monitoring the roads, too. Everything is icy. So the safest bet traffic-wise, we're telling you just to stay home. Don't try to go out. We just got reports from Brian Monahan, the Channel 2 meteorologist, that folks are sliding up and down Peachtree Street right here in Midtown. So, Walter, when we came in 2 hours ago, it really just seemed more wet than icy. Exactly. So now, you know, the temperature staying below freezing, starting to ice. And over in Calhoun, you've got 20 degrees. Griffin, down where Nicole's at, 25 degrees. 22 in Carrollton. The warmest spot around North Georgia right now, Eatonton, still at 37 degrees. So a little above freezing in those areas, but not safe to travel on the roads this morning for
it's
sure.
It's just icy. It's just slick as it can possibly be. As my friend used to say, the slick is ball bearings covered in goose poop.
Oh, well, that's
slick.
Wow.
It is very slick.
So we do. We want to hear what you're seeing out on the roads. If you have to be out traveling safely, give us a call, 404-872-0750. And the added bonus that Walter's still taking lawn and garden calls, too. Absolutely.
And after the top of the hour, I will talk a little bit more about how plants acclimate to cold, what damage we might or might not maybe expect from the cold weather this weekend, and what you can do to help your plants get rid of cold weather or to deal with the cold weather as well. Again, our phone number, 404-872-0750. We'll be back after news.